And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I'm willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed, a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, Man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, Your sins are forgiven you, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. We come to Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. We are going to cover verse 12 to verse 26. This evening we come to this message, physical healing and spiritual healing. There is an obvious contrast and there is an obvious link between the two, physical healing and spiritual healing. There are two instances of healing recorded for us here, and it is all with a definite purpose. The purpose is to show that spiritual healing from sin is far more important than physical healing. And before we open up this passage, we want to make it clear that in this church, we do not believe that anybody can go around healing people. And this understanding is based on the teaching of the Bible. Because healing was given to the apostles and those directly connected with them during the period when the Bible was not yet completely given. Now that the Bible is completely given, no one is going to give new revelation to us. And the Lord Jesus Christ is not sending any apostles and prophets to us anymore. What is needed is the teaching of the Bible. The Holy Spirit causes the Bible to be written by men who were inspired. The same Holy Spirit uses the Word of God that He has inspired to save souls. And when you are saved by the hearing of God's Word, you are turned back by the Holy Spirit to His Word. That is why man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And we do not need new revelation anymore. The Bible is sufficient for all our needs until Jesus Christ comes again. If we have not known all the teaching of the Bible, why should we be running around chasing after new revelation? Listen to the Word of God. Don't listen to all the false prophets and false apostles of today. We don't believe anybody has the ability to heal and to speak tongues and to prophesy. We don't believe them. They are mistaken people. They want to base their practice on the apostles and the prophets, but they are not apostles and they are not prophets. If you have difficulty in this area, come and talk to me later. We will go through the scriptures on this matter. And it is even worse to base their practice of so-called healing and prophecy on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not the Lord. The Lord is the Son of God who has come to this world to be the Savior of the world. Can you die on the cross to save anyone? You can't even save yourself. So why do you want to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ in the wrong way like that? The signs and wonders and miracles were intended to show who Jesus Christ really was. He often quoted from the Old Testament to convince his hearers that he was the one promised by the prophets. He healed the lame and the lame and the blind in order to show that he was that promised Savior. So it is not right at all for us to say that because Jesus Christ did that, we also do that today. You are not the Son of God. You are not the Savior of the world. See? Therefore, don't wrongly imitate the Lord. Rather, imitate the Lord correctly. Be his disciples first. That is condition number one. Otherwise, don't ever try to imitate him. You have no right to imitate him. You must first be his disciple. To be his disciple, you must confess your sin. You must trust in him as your Savior. You must trust in his death on the cross alone for your acceptance before God. You must make up your mind to want to follow him for the rest of your life. Then you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. And then you can start imitating him. And you will be able to imitate him correctly. So now that that is clear, we want to come to this passage. We don't want to be distracted by all this healing and tongue speaking and prophecy and so on. We do not want to be distracted. We want to draw out the correct lesson from tonight's passage. And we are saying at the start that the lesson we may draw out of this passage is that spiritual healing from sin is far more important than physical healing. You may seek out physical healing. If God so wish, he may heal. See? And this is the first point we want to make, that healing may be sought for the wrong reason. See? So it is not wrong if you are sick, you seek healing. But you may be seeking healing for the wrong reason. In the case of the leper, he was seeking healing for the right reason. And that was because he was thoroughly eaten up with leprosy. Now you must look at verse 12 very carefully. And it happened when he was in a certain city that behold, a man was full of leprosy. Don't miss out that description, full. He was not having leprosy here and there on his body. He was full of leprosy. This man had no hope anymore of living a normal life. And therefore, when he pleaded with the Lord, he implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. This man was placing his trust totally on the Lord Jesus Christ. He had no hope elsewhere. He must have spent so much money seeking cures from elsewhere, but he had failed. He must have listened to this well-meaning friend and relative here and there to do this and to do that, to eat this herb, to eat that medicine, to go and wash in this pool and to do this and that. So many things he must have done. Which one of us would not do all this if there is any hope of healing? But this man really found that he could not be healed by all methods. And he has heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that he wouldn't have come to the Lord Jesus Christ and addressed him, Lord, and also asked him for this particular thing, namely to heal, if he hadn't known who the Lord was. The Lord had been preaching already to so many people. Crowds of people were hearing from him. And you can imagine that this man, being ceremonially unclean, would not have been allowed to come near normal people. He would be hiding somewhere behind, hiding and listening. See? He would be keeping clear of people. He would be covered up. See? And this poor man has been quietly listening, finding out more and more of the Lord, and one day picking up courage to come to the Lord and pleaded with the Lord. And you know what it is like for emotions to be shown in the tone of voice. When a person is angry, he may shout. That is one way of showing his anger. But a person can be furious, but he may not be shouting. His voice is cool and quiet. But from the tone of his voice and from his demeanor, you know that this man is so very angry. Eh? And similarly, other expressions may be determined from the tone. But because Scripture records the words, the focus is on the words, from the words alone you can already discern the earnestness of this man. Look at the words again. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. This man's trust was in Jesus Christ. He had already known who he was, and he knew that the Lord alone could save him. And the Lord Jesus Christ took pity on that man. The Lord Jesus Christ showed who he really was. And we can even say the Lord has actually come to seek out this man, because the Lord did not do anything by chance. Everything he did was based on what he taught elsewhere, that he is the good shepherd. He has come to seek out the lost sheep. So this man was not only healed of his bad leprosy, but this man was healed of his spiritual leprosy. This man knew that he was a sinner before God. He was unworthy to approach even the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ healed so many lame and blind people. The Lord has already performed miracles, as is known to people. So he harbored that hope that he might be healed. He would be one of those healed by the Lord. He had no doubt that the Lord could heal. See? But his approach to the Lord was such that it indicated that he was unworthy, if you are willing. See? In other words, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. See? You perhaps have healed so many people, but I regard myself as not worthy. He was like someone who was virtually saying, my leprosy has come to this stage. See? And knowing my spiritual condition, I'm unclean. See? And I'm just waiting to die. See? But if you are willing, see? And the Lord, of course, came to save this man. And he showed it in the healing of his leprosy. And in the process, heal him of his spiritual leprosy. He said, I'm willing, be cleansed. And not the Lord touch him. The Lord is the Lord of glory. He did not fear contracting leprosy. He came to heal. He could have said it from a distance. But he wanted the leper to know that it was by his word that he was being healed. So he came and touched that man. See? And said that he was willing. And that man was made clean immediately. He did not go home and find himself getting better and better and better, and 1 week or 2 weeks later he get better. No. Immediately the leprosy left him. See? And the Lord seriously told him to charge him, means to tell him seriously. Yeah. Tell no one, but do one thing. See? Go to show yourself to the priest and make an offering as required by the law of Moses. And the offering spoken of is what Moses delivered from God to the people. The Jews had it written down in Leviticus chapter 14, verse 4 onwards, that for cleansing from leprosy and other such sickness, what you need to do is to bring two doves to the temple. The priest will offer up prayer of thanksgiving. One dove will be killed, the other dove will be set free. See? And every time an animal is killed, it is to indicate that on behalf of the sinner, that animal dies. We deserve death, but that animal died in our place. And in this case, because one dove is set free, we come to see that there is the indication that we are finally set free of this leprosy that is plaguing us all this while. And because the physical healing indicates spiritual healing, we can see that this man was declaring before everyone by this act that he was being set free from the power of sin. Spiritual leprosy is now leaving him. Now he belongs to the Lord. Now he is free, free, free from sin. Yes, to be free from sin is a wonderful experience. So what do? Give God thanks. Give God the glory. Go, go, go to the temple. Offer up these animals, these offerings to indicate the heart of gratitude that you are grateful to God for healing you, for forgiving you, for accepting you. You are now made clean. Made clean. Yes, made clean. Now you are set free. Yes, set free. Set free. Combine these two. See, you were once unclean. See, you were once in bondage. Now you are made clean. And now you are set free. What glorious things have happened to you? Should you not return to God and give Him all the praise and the glory? And because the Lord Jesus Christ had reasons not to have this declared in public yet, He told this man, don't declare it in public, just quietly go to the temple, make these offerings to God. It is right that you give all the praise and the glory to God. You praise Him because of what He has done in your life. You give Him all the glory because He is the one who has healed you. He is the one who has forgiven you. He is the one who has set you free from the power of sin. So to God be all the praise. To God be all the glory. Just quietly go and do that. And when you do that, people observing will say, oh, God has done some good things to this man. They wouldn't be inquiring what has happened, who has healed you, and so on. And it wouldn't have been known by everyone. Okay? And if you were to ask him, then he can tell you, oh, I was once a leper, and my leprosy was so bad. And perhaps you meet someone, he met someone who knew him. You know me, I was your neighbor, and because I was unclean with leprosy, I had to move out of my house. And on and off, you see me walking past from a distance. That was me. And the person will say, yeah, amazing, you are healed. You see, no wonder you have come to give God all the praise and glory. See, and still people will not be hearing about Jesus Christ. The reason why Jesus Christ did not want this to be made known in public yet is because His time has not yet come. In many parts of the gospel, the Lord has a time for everything. And He did not want problems, hindrances to His ministry. But this man, be so full of thanksgiving, so full of exuberance, so full of joy, he couldn't contain himself and he blurted it out. And we thought, didn't the Lord Jesus Christ charge you not to tell anyone? And he would perhaps say, yes, I forgot. Why? I just couldn't contain myself. And we can identify with this man. We are so weak. Often we just think of ourselves and our joy and all the goodness that has happened to us. We don't think of the effect upon others. And here, because he failed to keep to the Lord's instruction, he brought difficulty to the Lord. The Lord has to handle this difficulty, as you can see in verse 15. However, the report went around concerning him all the more. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. He thought that is great. People came to hear the Lord and to be healed of his infirmities. But note, the Lord would heal whenever he wanted. The Lord would choose the people he wanted to heal. He didn't want all this crowd to come to him. And you think they come just really purely to hear the word of God? No, they came in order to have healing. See? While they got to hear the gospel, but the majority of the people, their heart was not in the hearing. They wanted to gain something out of the Lord. From John's gospel, you know about the feeding of the 5,000 and then the feeding of the 4,000. And then what happened? The crowd of people came to the Lord. Why did they come to the Lord? Was it to hear teaching from him? The Lord rebuked them and said that he knew them. They came to have fish, see, to have food from him. See, Jesus Christ knew the heart of man. It was not time yet for him to be crucified on the cross. And he did not want trouble to be stirred up too early. And you see, because this man did not follow the Lord's instruction, it brought problem to him. And in verse 16, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Yes, on other occasions he also withdrew and prayed. But on this occasion, it's in relation to the multitudes that kept coming to him. He had to withdraw himself. See? So all in all, what we are saying is that this man had good reasons to seek healing, but all those who came after that on hearing his healing did not come to the Lord for the right reasons. That is why the Lord had to withdraw himself and focus on praying. Then we come to the next point. Healing may be sought for the wrong reason, verse 12 to verse 16, but healing can be opposed for the wrong reason. Amazingly, some people seek healing, others oppose healing, and here were people who opposed healing. And now it was the reverse. Earlier we have the leper seeking healing for the right reason, the multitudes sought healing for the wrong reason. So be warned that you are not numbered among the multitudes who seek healing for the wrong reason. See? But in the second part, we come to see the multitudes were attracted to the Lord Jesus Christ. They had some form of faith in him. They even brought someone to be healed by him. And they sought out an opportunity for this man to be met by the Lord personally. If he was pushed to the corner, to the periphery of the crowd, how was Jesus Christ going to know that he needed healing? So they tried to find ways and means of bringing this man, the paralyzed man, the man who couldn't come close to Jesus himself. So how would he be brought near? So his relatives, his friends, the whole village perhaps were trying to find means of bringing him close to the Lord. So when the Lord was preaching in a house, they somehow climb over the roof and remove the roof and make the hole there and then let down the man, the paralyzed man, right in front of the Lord. See? And this man came to seek healing. The whole crowd brought him to seek healing. But what happened was that when he was healed, the Pharisees did not like it. And these were religious leaders. They were teaching people God's word, but they were opposed to the Lord healing. See? And note, the healing was not immediate. The Lord intended to show us that far more important than your physical healing is your spiritual healing. So when this man was let down, the Lord said an unusual thing. Instead of saying, "Phew, you are really helpless, you needed my help, you need healing." No. The Lord pronounced that his sins were forgiven him. Now those people who listened were so amazed. Who is this who even have the audacity to forgive people's sins? And they rightly concluded that only God could forgive sin. Therefore, Jesus Christ was committing blasphemy to take on the role of God. And what was happening was that they failed to know who Jesus Christ really was. They kept thinking that he was a great religious teacher and perhaps a great healer, but they did not know that he was the Son of God. And if they had known that he was the Son of God, they would not have seen it as something incongruent, something that is wrong, something that is inappropriate. They would straight away say, "He is the Son of God. He has the right to forgive sin." But they did not realize that he was God himself. They did not realize that he has come from heaven. They did not realize the true identity of Jesus Christ. So they wrongly concluded that the Lord had blasphemed by forgiving sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing their hearts, turned to them and asked them this question: "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or 'Rise, rise up and walk. See? Of course, the mere saying of the two sentences are the same. Your sins are forgiven you. Rise up and walk. It's equally easy to say these two sentences. What the Lord meant was this. Which is easier to do? See, that was what he meant. See? He was not referring to the saying of the sentences literally. He's saying, which one is easier to do? See? You think it is easier just to say your sins are forgiven, and it's more difficult to say, rise up and walk. See? But the Lord, He's God. To Him, your sin is the worst problem compared to your physical problem. He could easily heal you of your physical infirmities. But no one can forgive sin except God. And here Jesus Christ is directing our attention to our greater problem. Yes, whatever your physical problem may be, what is it? It may be known to you, it may be known to other people, but perhaps it's hidden from other people. Huh? You may have a problem that you are too ashamed to tell people. See, perhaps you have gone to various doctors to try to seek a cure. See, are these words speaking of someone here tonight? See, you're simply too ashamed to know that you need healing. But the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to say to you, while your physical healing disturbs you so much, but what you must understand is your sin, your spiritual healing. You need spiritual healing. You need to be forgiven. Do you not see that you are unclean in the sight of God? Do you not see that you have offended God all your life? Your thoughts, your words, your deeds, they have all broken God's law. You have broken God's law in every point. You have offended God. You are guilty in the sight of God. You deserve damnation from God. Do you not see that as a worse problem? See? And no one can in this world can help you. No one. So don't think that healing, physical healing, is so difficult. The Lord Jesus Christ easily said to the man, rise and walk. And the paralyzed man got well and picked up his bed, his mattress, and just walked away home, showing that he was fully healed. The Lord, being the one who created the whole universe, had no problem, absolutely no problem, just to pronounce the word, and the man was healed of his physical infirmity. But what needs to be known here is that that man had a bigger problem, which was his sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ was doing the more difficult thing, to pronounce him forgiven. See? And this man was numbered among those who believe in the Lord. But the Pharisees who taught God's word were opposed to the Lord. They refused to come to him. They refused to have a friendly attitude towards him. They refused to submit themselves to him. They thought they were his equal or even higher. They failed to understand that the first qualification of coming to Jesus Christ is that you must have a humble heart. You mustn't be proud. You mustn't think too highly of yourself. You really must have a small heart, a low heart. You must come to Jesus Christ with the understanding that you're nothing. You're nobody. Whatever your qualifications, whatever your standing in society, see, whatever people think of you, see, and worse still, whatever you think of yourself, see, too many people think too highly of themselves, not only in terms of ability, but in terms of their basic goodness, their moral goodness. They keep thinking they are not as bad as other people, and they often think that they are better, far better than other people. They are basically self-righteous. But Jesus Christ has not come to save the righteous. He has come to call sinners to repentance. Okay? So have you grasped the lesson? The message here is that there are those who oppose for the wrong reason. So healing can be sought for the wrong reason. Healing can be opposed for the wrong reason. You must understand that we are not to seek physical healing just for its own sake. We have a problem deeper than that. The leprosy might have eaten the man all through, but he saw that his heart was in a worse condition to the point that he felt unworthy to call upon the Lord to heal him. Do you have such a heart? Do you have such a realization of yourself, of your standing before God? Only such stand the possibility of coming to the Lord to be forgiven and then to experience possible healing. Yes, God is still able to heal, and therefore we can pray, we may pray that He heal. He may heal miraculously as someone prays for you as you pray. He may, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's the same Lord. He's unchangeable. What we have said is that no man has the power to heal anyone whenever he wants. But we have never said that God is not able to heal. We are declaring that God is able to heal because He is the same God. That's why we may approach Him directly in prayer, ask upon our friends, our relatives to pray for us. We do need others to pray for us. And God, in His sovereignty, might just answer the prayer and heal us. But that is up to His sovereign will. God has the right to heal who He wants, when He wants. And if He doesn't heal you, you must submit to His will. He must have a good reason for not wanting to heal you. But remember also that God heals through means as well. And He can use doctors. He can use medication. He can use medical equipment. He can use all this as means to heal you. And when you approach a doctor, remember to pray, to trust in God, to pray that God will work through the doctors, work through the instruments, work through the medication. And when you are healed, remember to return to God the glory. While we thank the doctor, remember, we have thanked the Lord in our hearts first. And better still, we must utter words of thanks to God. See? And that should be what we do. And we must draw to a conclusion. These two healings show to us that there is this deeper problem that we are faced with, namely our spiritual leprosy, namely our spiritual paralysis. Earlier we mentioned that we are unclean and we are in bondage. So here you see that we need to be made clean because we have spiritual leprosy. And here you see how helpless we are. We are like the paralyzed man. A paralyzed man has not the freedom to run, to jump, to go anywhere he wants. And when you are liberated from the bondage of sin, you're free. You're no more like that paralyzed man. You're empowered by the Spirit of God to do God's work, to serve Him. And that is what we want. We want to give God the praise. We want to give God the glory. We want to give God the praise when we are made clean of our spiritual leprosy. We want to give God the glory when we are set free from our spiritual paralysis. So let us draw the conclusion, firstly, that all of us have this bigger problem of spiritual leprosy. We have spiritual paralysis. These two things bring us down. We are unclean in God's sight, and we are not free to move as we like because we are in bondage to sin. We are just simply paralyzed by our sin. We do need cleansing by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we do need liberation by the power of His Spirit. And therefore, for this to be met, we must come to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ here is portrayed before us as the physician. There simply is no other doctor you can turn to. You must come to Him, Him alone, no other. And you must understand also how the Lord accomplishes this. The Bible tells us that the gospel is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So you must understand that Christ alone is your Savior. He is the doctor you need. He alone can save you. But you must understand also that he saves by the heavy price of his blood being shed. His precious blood was shed on the cross. He laid down his life in order that you may have life. He shed his blood in order that you may have cleansing. And coming to the imagery of the leprosy and the paralysis again, you see that we need cleansing because we are spiritually unclean and we have no life, no ability to run, to jump, to be free, to go about as we like. But when we are given life in Jesus Christ, then we sense that we are liberated. We are now able. We are now no more paralyzed. We are able to go about. But where do we go about? What do? We would give of ourselves to the Lord. We would really want to live our life for the Lord. Yes, we are made clean. But why are we made clean? In order to be holy vessels to be used by the Lord. Yes, we are no more paralyzed. We are free. But why are we set free? It is in order to serve the Lord. This would be the desire of the hearts of those who have been made clean, who have been set free. You ask the question, how do you know whether I'm a Christian or not? The better question is, how do I know whether I'm a Christian or not? Ask yourself that question. How do you know that you are a true Christian? Ask yourself, are you made clean by the blood of Jesus Christ? Ask yourself the next question, are you set free by the power of Jesus Christ who laid down his life for his people? Do you have the life of Christ in you? See? And to put it simply, have you come to Jesus Christ seeing your need of him? You need Jesus Christ. You need his death on the cross to save you. Jesus Christ is who you need. His death on the cross is what you need. There simply is no other medicine. There simply is no other doctor. You must come to Jesus Christ. So if you have understood these things tonight, will you not make up your mind to come to him? Don't come to me. Don't come to anybody else in the world. Go to Jesus Christ. Yes, go to Jesus Christ. Come to him in faith. Let tonight be the night. Let tonight be the night when you really, really make up your mind to come to him, to plead for him to cleanse you, to make you free, to give you life. Jesus Christ is waiting for those who know that they need to be healed. Which one here present tonight really sense for the first time, see, that I really am that one? See, all these years you hear the gospel, you hear the call of the gospel, you hear the word of God speaking to you in some ways, but up to this point you have not truly responded. You have not turned to Jesus Christ. Let tonight be the night. Yes. Come to Jesus Christ. Yes, come to Jesus Christ. Come to him as you are. And tonight, you will find peace with God. You will have cleansing. You will be liberated from your spiritual paralysis. May God deal mercifully with us all.